The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 10th through Sunday, June 16th, 2024. The commentary for June was written by Philip M. Beyer, who has a passion for serving the unhoused, incarcerated, addicted, and missions in Haiti. Phil is a retired business person, author, and avid gardener who lives in Tallahassee, Florida, with Jeannie, his wife of 52 years, and a retired archdeacon of the Diocese of Florida. They have two children and two grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, June 10th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith." I struggle with this passage. A desperate Canaanite woman pleads with Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. Jesus shuns her, comparing her ancestry to dogs, and refuses to heal her child. In modern medical terms, it is like Jesus saying, "You're out of network, Canaanite. I only treat in-network patients, Israelites." Whoa! This is not the Jesus I know. Undeterred, the woman persists verbally, grappling with Jesus until he relents. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." My take on this passage is that the Matthew writer, fully aware of God's salvation history, uses this encounter to point to things to come. Easter, where through Jesus God's salvation is for all, where no one is out of network, where all are healed. A courageous, marginalized woman on bended knee empties herself before Jesus. Jesus, the divine healer, has compassion for her. I am part of God's ever-evolving salvation for all, and the Jesus I know, the one I sometimes wrestle with, has compassion on me. All I need to do is to ask. And now I'm going to read the full Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 10th, is, do you ever grapple with Jesus? If so, about what and to what result? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, June 11th. It is the feast day of St. Barnabas. It begins with a passage from Isaiah in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, chapter 42, verse 6b. "I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Woven into today's readings is the thread of being sent. Israel, God's chosen servant, is the bearer of God's new covenant with all nations. In the gospel, Jesus commissions the disciples as they are sent. As you go, proclaim the good news. And in Acts, after Stephen's death, persecuted believers scatter to faraway cities, spreading the gospel. I have a favorite mantra. Why not? Why not take a risk, be adventuresome, and be open to whatever comes? So when the thought, go visit other churches, came to mind, my response was, why not? At first I visited other Episcopal churches, and then broadened to several mainline and non-denominational churches. A common thread appeared. After worship, in whatever church and in whatever words, the congregations were sent into the world to spread God's word, to proclaim the good news. It was enlightening that despite the differences, in Christ we are all one body, sharing one mission. And now I'm going to read from this passage here from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 12. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its towns live up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. And the moving forward statement for this day is, proclaim the good news. Why not? And the commentary for Wednesday, June 12th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, 1b. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Pharisees and Sadducees witnessed Jesus healing the sick, feeding the multitudes, and raising the dead. Still, they demand Jesus show them a visible sign from heaven. They test Jesus, as the devil did in the wilderness. If you are the Messiah, then show us. They could not see Jesus, the miraculous living sign from heaven, standing before them. I confess, I test Jesus. I want quick miracles, quick fixes to life's challenges. I fail to see Jesus before me. As I was jogging one morning, my mind was heavy on work issues. I became aware of a bird just singing its heart out. I looked up to see a cardinal and beyond, a magnificent sunrise. It hit me. Here is a bird singing praises to God in the sunrise that I was too self-involved to see. God makes surprises, and this was one. A sacred surprise, a cardinal song, awakened me to God's radiant presence in the here and now. I was humbled. Then came gratitude. Then praise. I pray to be spiritually awake and curious about every day, holy surprise visits that Jesus makes in my life. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." Then he left them and went away. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They said to one another, "It is because we have brought no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How could you fail to perceive that I was not speaking about bread? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he had not told them to be aware of the yeast of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, or the statement I should say, today, become aware of the everyday signs of Jesus in your life. Now the commentary for Thursday, June 13th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm in the Old Testament, chapter 71, verse 18. "Now that I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, till I make known your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come." Lamont's handwritten letter was an English teacher's nightmare, but a poet's delight. Among the abundant misspellings, poor grammar, and incorrect tenses was a graceful, poetic stream of street prose expressing a father's magnanimous love for his son. Lamont was a lifer in the state penitentiary who asked me to review his letter to his angry 13-year-old son, which implored him not to make the same mistakes as he had. I slid the unmarked pages back to him. "Lamont, to express yourself beautifully, you do that. This is a love letter, a precious gift to your son. He may not see it that way right now, but in time he will." Lamont made my eye contact. "I thought you were going to mark it up, because I don't know spelling and all those writing rules." He got up, hugged me, and rushed out of the room. "Gotta go mail this." God gave me, old and gray-headed, the wisdom to see love, not errors in Lamont's letter, to make known God's strength, power, and grace. And now I'm going to read Psalm 71. "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch for my life consult together. They say, pursue and seize that person whom God has forsaken, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let my accusers be put to shame and consumed. Let those who seek to hurt me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long. Though their number is past my knowledge, I will come praising the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsaken me, until I proclaim your might to all the generations to come. Your power and your righteousness, O God, reach the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have rescued. All day long my tongue will talk of your righteous help, for those who try to do me harm have been put to shame and disgraced. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, do you see love or errors in others? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, June 14th. It is from the book of Galatians, a letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Ben's family and three other refugee families jammed into their tiny apartment, and Ben's nail salon emerged from a boarded-up storefront. It was welcomed with bricks thrown through windows and graffiti, yet he persisted, repeatedly restoring windows and painting over graffiti. Ben appeared in our church parish hall, where hundreds of working poor, unhoused, and prostitutes ate weekly. He set up tables with signs, "Free nails." One evening, the neighborhood matriarch held out her filthy hands, "Free, huh?" and sat down. No words were exchanged, only gestures. Others watched as she admired her freshly polished nails. "Look, y'all." Before long, Ben manicured scores of his neighbor's nails, all for free. Window breakage and graffiti gradually ceased. Over the next 2 years, the area was revitalized as more stores appeared, and with them, new relationships. I admired Ben for his persistence, for loving those who shunned him, and for doing what was right. And now I'm going to read from today's epistle, the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 25, through chapter 6, verse 10. If we live by the Spirit, let us all be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you have received the Spirit, should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, when will you feel unwelcome? What is right? The commentary for Saturday, June 15th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5b. This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Brother Micah, the aged Franciscan monk, entered the prison in a simple robe and sat among 40 awestruck prison inmates and volunteers. I thought, here is a holy man, a guru, the one to whom you climb a mountaintop to discover the secret of life. The chaplain concluded Micah's introduction with, "Listen to him." Brother Micah closed his eyes and was silent for a long while. Just when I thought he had dozed off, Micah met the inmate's eyes. "Have you ever been crushed, face down on the ground, afraid to look up?" Most eyes cast to the floor, including mine. Brother Micah shared his brokenness. "Sometimes I feel bruised, cast in a dark pit, forgotten, with no way out. That's when I hear God's voice. That's when I listen to Jesus." Amens resonated throughout the chapel. Hearing Micah's words, I felt this holy man had humbly and lovingly descended from the mountaintop to be among us. In a place where strength and bravado reigned, Brother Micah emptied himself and became a vulnerable, fragile human among us, just like Jesus. Amen. And now I'm going to read from the full passage, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 1 through 13. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He replied, "Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him. But they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. And the moving forward statement for this Saturday is, today take time yourself to listen to Jesus. Now, as we near the end of the program for this week, let's go to the commentary for Sunday, June 16th, the fourth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. On my first visit to the storefront mission, Miss Kanisha stood over me and grabbed my arm. Honey, you don't need to sit back here all by yourself, and led me to the second row of folding chairs. Miss Kanisha guided me like a lamb, teaching me when to stand, sit, and pray during the service. At the communion rail, she showed me how to hold my hands for bread and sip from the cup. This was a recentering moment for me. I had prayed the liturgy and received communion a zillion times, but her humble, endearing manner made the Eucharist come alive. With the new eyes, I saw Kanisha's heart, not my notions associated with her being unhoused. Miss Kanisha welcomed me, a stranger, one who usually didn't belong, into her fold. I was on the receiving end of Christ's pure, effortless love. And now the full passage from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 10. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. And the moving forward statement for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Pentecost, today see someone with new eyes. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr at the Center of Action and Contemplation in New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.